Hi guys, it's me, Timmy. I stole my dad's phone because I was looking for games, but he doesn't have any games. All he's got is stupid stuff about books and how to build furniture. Oh, this is boring. I really want a Halloween costume, but he's so cheap, he won't buy me anything. He said we have to make it up. I've got to use my imagination. I don't have time for that. If I had time for that, I'd listen to that Purple Pants podcast from that weird guy he called Sis. Whatever the name of it is. I got homework to do and I didn't even do my homework yet. Oh my god, it's been such a long weekend. Anyway, it's your boy Timmy. Oh no, I think my dad's coming. Oh my god, I'm always put the phone.
Timmy, huh? Give me my phone back.
I don't have your phone, Dad.
Give me my phone back.
Well, you guys know what it is. You're listening to the Purple Pants Podcast.
It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. Mm-hmm. It's the Purple Pants. Yeah, yeah. It's the Purple Pants.
Baby. What's poppin', everybody? It is Bryce Isaiah, your host of the Purple Pants Podcast. And welcome to our episode 10. Ooh, I probably say this has to be my longest relationship. Since we go together, you know, we churning them out. 10 episodes in, what's popping? Whoo, Chile. What y'all been up to? You know, I just been keeping up on my social media. I see this past weekend was the Halloween weekend. All of y'all was dressing up in your Halloween costumes. Some of them was cute. Some of them was funny. Some of them, I was like, wait, are you even dressing up? Because you look the same. But, yes, busy as a bee. I literally just flew back in from Philadelphia, and I was like, ooh, I got to get this podcast popping. As you know, I went to Atlanta this weekend. It was Morehouse Spelman, and I don't think Clark University. I think Clark University was last year, but it was Spellhouse weekend. And so I went down there, you know, Beef, Wendell, and Joey, they had already been traveling, delivering their furniture. They getting it popping, these popping behind bed frames. They look dope. So, you know, I flew in Friday night and baby, it was a lot. It was so much fun just going out. And Atlanta's a different, I feel like Atlanta is a whole vibe. And then just the HBC homecoming event, because you just can't even call it homecoming. It is definitely an event. They come out. And one thing that I don't know if it has to do with homecoming, but one thing I will say is I see why a lot of people move to Atlanta. There were so many attractive men. I don't ever think I've seen so many attractive men in one place. Like, they were just different shapes, sizes, colors. They was all over the place. And so I knew from going to Temple University's homecoming a couple of weeks before that it was dressed to impress. So I told you I was perpetrating like I graduated from Morehouse. I was, you know, looking fly. I knew I needed glasses because I was going to be people watching. If I could be invisible and go to events like that, I could do that all day. I just love to people watch. I like, oh, what does she got on? Oh, what is he doing? Like, all of that. And especially in Atlanta at Morehouse and Spellman's homecoming because, let me wet the whistle because, it's a lot. Hold on. This weekend, I'm drinking a little Tropicana watermelon. It's delish with little Tito's. You know, you need a little juice after you had a long weekend. But listen, if I could be invisible and just people watch, that would be my, that is my job title, people watcher, because it's just so, there was so much fun to look at and just be. It was just a whole experience. And I definitely will be back. So much fun. I even had to like tap out a little bit because I couldn't hang out. The whole time, I had like slightly and politely, well, since we go together and I feel like I share my most intimate details. So I'd say in my life, probably had like 1, 2, 3 people that have like in relationships that have made like an impact. More negative than positive, but either way, that's still like a special place in my heart. And so one of the people that I feel like had, because they don't have, but they had a special place in my life. And I never really liked how the situation ended just because I was so young and impressionable. And I just feel like, I don't know, I just was a mess there in Atlanta. So, of course, you know, when I got to Atlanta, I had, you know, hit them up. I said, hey, what's up, popping? Like, let's meet up, drinks or something. So they were like, sure, Saturday night. So we went to Morehouse. We also went to the Atlanta Hawks game. They were playing Orlando. And then so, you know, my time schedules, they wasn't matching up. So I had ended up leaving the game a little early. I'm famous for Irish goodbyes. So anyway, I had met up with my friends. And it was a good experience because, you know, sometimes if you could look back on relationships and like you'd be like, oh, my God, I was such a mess. I was so dumb. But then fast forward, you know, when you popping, okay, you looking like something. Yeah, and then it's just good to just reflect and, you know, just how good you look and how great you're doing in life. And not to say that the person isn't doing great, but it was just a good feeling to just be like, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm so good. Like, you know, just one of those. I just finally felt like that's something that I can just check off my box to say I'm in a great place. But it was really, really good to see that friend as well, too. But anyway, you know, thank you. Thank you for letting me vent. But anyway, woo, episode 10. This week is popping. I know I say that a lot, but we got a lot to cover this week. We've got the church announcements. So let's just get into the church announcements because church announcement number one, I released a new song. It's not a single. It's just a song. It's a freestyle called Pull Up. You know, somebody, you tired of these people talking about you, dragging your name through the mud. Okay. And listen, you pull up, let them know what's up. It ain't no popping gums. I'm here straight rocking. That's available on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere that you receive music. It's called Bryce Isaiah Pull Up. Oh, what you don't do? Okay. Oh. It's time to get it. Let's get it. What's popping? Yes, original music, all about it. And I just, you know, wanted to put something out there. I am a recording artist. I actually am working on myself, not album, but I'd say an EP, you know, and I really want to put an EP out in 2020, just a body of work. So keep out for the lookout for that. It's coming. Now, what else we got on these church announcements? Because it's been a lot that has happened this week. Oh. And listen, I told y'all I be reading the tweets. I see what you tweet. I see what you say. So I've gotten more than one tweet about 90 Day Fiancé. So many people are like, oh, my God, you should watch it. You like Love After Lockup. You would love 90 Day Fiancé. So and I always been like, I don't want to start something mid-season. Or if it ain't Hulu, Amazon Prime, or if it ain't Netflix and I can't sit and binge watch a whole new season, I'm not that interested. But I looked and it looks like season 7 of 90 Day Fiancé starts Sunday, November 11th. So listen, I started my DVR. So we got a lot of fall shows coming up. So I just want to let you know that I am putting that on the church announcements. I will start to watch 90 Day Fiancé. Okay. And that's this week's church announcements. Nice, short, and sweet. Now on the menu this week, we've got Prodigal Son. We've got Mindhunters. We got Love After Lockup, and ooh, I'm telling y'all, y'all are going to want to hear what I have to talk about outside the show of Love After Lockup. We also have on the menu self-care. We got the Purple Pants Picks. Ooh, you know that's my favorite part of the show. Advice with Bryce, we got a good one this week, and the Freak of the Week. Whoo, it's been a lot going on, so let's jump right into it. So, Prodigal Son. It's a new series. It's on Fox. I don't know how I feel about Fox, how I feel about their shows, but I remember when Empire first came on, I was all here for it. So The Prodigal Son is a show. Now, I heard people at my job the other day when I was, you know, getting some coffee. You know, I couldn't be too inconspicuous, but I was getting some coffee and I heard people talking about it. So I had to, you know, join in the conversation to be a little more inconspicuous about it. So I was like, oh, okay. And then my friend Dara, she was telling me, Aco Taco, you know, Thursday, Tuesday night taco. I was like, girl, what shows you watching? She was like, have you seen The Prodigal Son? Now, it's really, really good. So I was like, you know what? I've been watching an episode a night. So that's been what I've been recently looking forward to. So it is, how do I explain it? So it's kind of like CSI in a way. So there is a guy named Malcolm Bright, but he's originally Malcolm Whitley. Now, he is or was a FBI profiler. So if you know, like, if you watch CSI, you know the nerdy guy that, like, studies and, like, knows all of that stuff. So that's kind of sort of his character. Now, what makes this interesting is that his daddy is a serial killer, and he's a prominent family, and the dad was a serial killer, and basically, like, the son turned him in when he was younger. He kind of, like, discovered some stuff, and he called the police, and the police came over, and basically, the dad sort of kind of tried to kill the police, but the little boy, Malcolm, was like, don't do that. Don't do that. He's trying to kill you. So, basically, Malcolm has grown up. You know, Malcolm, again, they from a well-to-do family, so they got money. The dad is not in jail, but he is in a mental health facility. The privilege. So, Malcolm has a sister. His sister is like a wannabe news reporter, but basically, like, she has money, and her name is Ashlyn, and she basically is not the greatest reporter, but, you know, she's cute, pretty, and wants to be a reporter. Now, Malcolm also has a mama. Now, the mama is low-key probably one of my favorite characters. Her name's Jessica Whitley. Now, she used to be on Scandal with Kerry Washington. She played Fitz's husband. I think her name is like Bellamy Young. So I like the mom because she messy. The mom loves a good cocktail. She was in love with Malcolm's dad. And basically, her character is she just rich, loves her kids, and she is like an overprotective mom, but not really overprotective mom because she's all about popping pills and drinking alcohol. And she rich, my type of girl. Now, I don't want to get too much into it because I want you guys that have not watched it, I need for y'all. Y'all got homework. Listen, the Purple Pants podcast, you got homework just like Timmy got homework. Oh, I hate homework, Dad. I'm not your dad, Timmy. I hate you. I hate you too. So get into the show because I want to break down more of these characters. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about Malcolm. When we first meet Malcolm, basically, he is an FBI agent. He's a profiler, and he kind of gets fired. And then basically, one day he's meeting up with his sister, and he gets a phone call from the NYPD. Now, we later learn in the show that I think it's like Lieutenant Phillips, or they call him Lou. He calls Malcolm and basically he's like, I need your help for something. Of course, Malcolm don't have no job. And so he's all about it. So he meets up. He kind of solves the case or helps him solve the case. And then there's like two other detectives on this case that don't really like Malcolm because Malcolm is kind of weird. And it's a girl and a guy. But basically, we kind of sort of throughout this whole experience, Malcolm can't sleep at night. And then Malcolm, child, you would think he's freaky. So he has like really bad nightmares. So he has to restrain himself at night. So in his loft that his mom owns that he lives in, he restrains himself at night because he has like these night tremors. And basically, a lot of the time with the night tremors, they're about his childhood, about kind of like the night he called on his dad. And each dream gets more and more intense. And he starts to remember things about what happened that night. Now, told you his dad is a serial killer. So Malcolm, on the course of helping profile for the NYPD, I was about to say NYPD Blue. Y'all remember that show? I loved NYPD Blue. I think they're making a remake too. So anyway, when Malcolm is helping the New York Police Department solve these cases, they are kind of like serial killer cases or murderers. And so the first murderer that we see is kind of like imitating Malcolm's dad. So Malcolm hasn't seen his dad in 10 years. Now, when Malcolm's dad went away, the mom did not want Malcolm to have any type of contact with him. However, when Malcolm was about maybe 10 or 11, he started having contact with him. And he really enjoyed this contact. Now, it was like really weird because Malcolm he's an interesting character. So he is all about like death. He's all about that all about that type of stuff. So his dad uses that to kind of like form a relationship. But then Malcolm kind of ended the relationship because he just felt like it wasn't healthy. Obviously, it's not healthy. If you got to strap yourself to a bed and you ain't trying to be freaky, that's just how you have to sleep. Yeah, so Malcolm has issues. So Malcolm has to sort of kind of reach out to his dad to kind of help these murders because the dad is a murderer. Not a murderer, a serial killer. So basically the dad is all for this, but Malcolm don't want his mom to know that he's seeing the dad because Malcolm's mom forbid him. Now Malcolm's sister becomes an intricate character because we see that the relationship, when we first see him, we don't really know, like, do they go together? But then we figure out it's his sister. And it's hard to tell whether or not they have a close relationship. It's hard to tell if Malcolm has a close relationship with his mom at all or any of his family. But we start to see that they are rather close as much as they are dysfunctional. So it definitely is a crime thriller. It's definitely kind of a little spooky, but I've really, really been enjoying it. And I think there are 5 episodes up now. And I literally just finished the 4th episode on the plane ride back to Philadelphia. So I'm going to start the fifth episode tonight. So that's your homework. The Prodigal Son on Fox is really, really good. And I'm going to report back next week about it, but no, it's juicy. But what I find similar about The Prodigal Son reminded me of a show that I watched on Netflix. It's called Mindhunters. Mindhunters is similar to The Prodigal Son in the sense of it is like the form of the FBI when they first started their like cases of profiling serial killers, or kind of like creating a tool. So it is, The Prodigal Son is like the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia. And basically, it is literally the start of them profiling killers. And so season 1, we really get to kind of learn some of the main characters. Now, some of the main characters in Mindhunter, like, so for instance, Malcolm in The Prodigal Son would be Detective or Agent Holden Ford. So Agent Holden Ford in Mindhunters is essentially Malcolm. Now, Agent Ford is the, I want to say back to Criminal Minds, I don't think it's Gideon, but it might be Gideon, the nerdy one, the one that like, that's that, all 3 of those characters. So Ford is another interesting character. He is, I want to say, quirky, very smart. And so it is the start of them putting together how they started to profile, how they started to use information from these serial killers. And what I like about Mindhunters is they talk about real, it's actually based off of something real. So it's like real murders that you can look up, like Uncle Sam, the Marilyn Mason. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's such a good show. And it's so similar to Prodigal Son, except Mindhunters is in the beginning. So it's in the 1970s. And I always kind of love period pieces. They're just so interesting to me. And season 2 came out. And I forgot that I even seen season 1. And I was telling somebody at my part-time job, because I got him into Euphoria. So he was like, yeah, Bryce, if you got any other recommendations, tell me. So I was like, you ever seen Mindhunters? And he was like, no. And I was like, season 2 just came out. And so he reported back to me recently, his name Mike. Mike was like, I love it. So I was like, you know what? Let me get into season 2 to see whether or not it could really capture my, and baby, it captures me. I literally, on the plane ride to Atlanta, I had downloaded 3 episodes on Netflix and I just ate them right up because I was like, ooh, this is good. So 2 homework assignments, Prodigal Son, 5 episodes in on Fox, and then Mindhunters on Netflix. Season 2 was up. So it might be easier for y'all to get through Mindhunters because they all up. But I'm telling you, Prodigal Son is really, 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 really good. So get into it. Love After Lockup. Ooh, whew. I mean, this was like my secret addiction. And I like feel like I'm out of the closet with my secret addiction because everybody knows how much I love Love After Lockup. And these people are such a mess and they get on my nerves half the time. And there's no difference. So this week I want to talk about, because we didn't get to touch a lot on Vince, Amber, and Puffy. So I want to give y'all what's been going on with them and why they're all still pissing me off. Then Sheryl and Josh, and then, ooh, Lacey, Shane, and John. I had to be quick with Vince and Amber and Sheryl and Josh because it is so much tea with, So listen, Puffy, Vince, Amber. Amber just got out of jail. She was, you know, stuffing narcotics in her cootie cat. With her mama, they was locked up. Vince was on Right a Prisoner, writing 10 girls at the same time, came across Amber, fell in love, got engaged over the phone or letters. You know, he came down when she got out. He's written an Airbnb. Amber is staying at Puffy's house. Puffy is her prison BFF, but allegedly her girlfriend. So she's staying at her mom's house. You know, Vince bought her a mattress. Vince is trying to be, you know, Mr. Right. And Amber is like, I just don't feel it. I just don't feel it. And so throughout the course of this season, Amber has been introducing her friends to Vince to basically like help make up her mind. And now the last friend that we saw, they went to the strip club. And the friend was grilling Vince again. Like, why do you want to be with her? And I told y'all, Vince was drunk. And so Vince was like,
God places certain people in our lives for us to be together.
And they're like, I don't believe you. And so we also learned Vince wanted to adopt Amber and Puffy so that he could basically give them the money that he would get. Child, why you adopted these grown people? But Vince, you crazy. So basically, he ended up adopting Puffy, but he couldn't get no benefits for her, so it don't matter. So now he Puffy daddy. And so I think the last we talked about them was when they went to the strip club, and then Amber, she went back to the Airbnb with Vince. And so, scene. Vince wakes up. And then Amber wakes up. But Amber, Amber was drunk, okay? Now, I'm sure y'all have been in situations where you've gone out one night, you got home drunk, and you know your phone just started texting random people that it shouldn't be texting, right? So that's the type of night generally you would think that you would have. So we get back, and Amber in another bed in the Airbnb, and Vince in another bed. Like, girl, even at your drunkest state, you still not trying to jump the bones with Vince. And like I said before, Vince ain't that bad looking, all things considered. Not even all things that considered. Like, he a little funny looking, but Vince got a nice body. He's got a job. So basically, they wake up, and Vince is, like, explaining to her again, like, you know, he was so awkward around her in the beginning, but he really wants to make it work. And so basically, she's just like, why me? Why me? I don't understand, like, why you would just want to marry somebody right out of prison. Like, you know, you're not telling me nothing. And so this is the part that's pissing me off. It's like, now all of a sudden, Amber is turning, like, to Vince, like, I don't know. You just wanted to marry me while I was in prison, and it's making me concerned. Bitch, excuse me. You also accepted his engagement, okay? You said yes, too. Like, oh. 10, 9, 8, 7. Cause you know how Amber gets me pissed off. Like, she is literally trying to flip this on Vince. Like, I just don't trust the situation. Girl, you wrote back to him. You agreed to everything. And now this is how shady WeTV is. So in a confessional, cause you know how they do on Love After Lockup, everybody gets a confessional. They basically are asking Amber the questions that she does not feel like comfortable about, and they're like, well, do you feel like Vince kind of misled you? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, well, do you feel, they're like, well, do you feel like, and mind you, this is like the subtitles, and they're like, do you feel like Vince is not who he said he was? And she's like, yeah, I don't believe him. And ooh, baby, then the producer was like, well, do you feel like you're the person that you led Vince on to be? And she's like, no. Right, so you up here lying. So this episode, they're driving back from the Airbnb to Puffy's house, Puffy mom house. And she's like, I'ma just have Puffy mom Kathy talk to us again, and maybe we can get to the bottom of it. Okay, I don't understand what she's going to do for it. And so basically, they get back to the house, and then so they live in like a little rancher house. And this is like the shady stuff that Amber do. So they go back to the house. It's just Kathy, Amber, and Vince. Amber kind of walks in with Kathy mom. They go to the room. And then so obviously Vince walks in. And so Amber and her confessional has the nerve to be like, yeah, you know, I got back to Kathy's house and Vince just follows me into my room. Bitch, what else do you want him to do? Like, he's not at Kathy's mom's. He's not at Kathy's house for Kathy. He's at her house for you. Like, y'all just drove together. 4, 3, 2, 1. So it's like, girl, you're just trying to turn yourself off from him. And so again, even more awkward. So then he's in the room and then Amber's like, I gotta go for a cigarette. You wanna come smoke a cigarette with me, Kathy? And Kathy's like, sure. So they go out for a cigarette. And of course, Vince follows them. And Vince is like, I hope you guys are okay with me sitting out here with you guys, even though I don't smoke a cigarette. And then she's like, yeah. So then basically she proceeds to tell Kathy, like, well, what do you think? And Kathy's basically like, me and Puffy dead. We was together 20 years. Every time we went out, people was like, whoo, did y'all just meet? Because they had sparks. And so Kathy is essentially telling them, like, listen, if it's no sparks, it's no sparks. Like, you know, there needs to be some type of attraction. I understand it's awkward getting to know somebody, but y'all don't even seem happy. So it's like either you need to figure out if y'all want to be together or not. And then Kathy's like, well, y'all figure it out. I'm going in the house. And then, you know, the producers pull her to the side and they're like, so are you basically telling them that you don't think that it's going to work? And she's just like, I just feel like Amber has eyes for somebody else. And then the producer's like,
do you think that somebody else is your daughter?
And then Kathy's like, I do. So Amber's still sitting out there smoking her cigarette. And then she's like, well, do you want to go to the gym? And then I'll go to sleep and you can just call me later. And Vince is like, okay. Then we learn, before we see a preview, Amber is like, I got something to tell Vince, but I don't know really how to tell him. And it's something to do with Puffy. Yeah. What are you going to tell us? That you guys go together? We know that. Amber, you're not attracted to men. Like, you just used Vince. Like, Angela's friend. Did you call me, Bri? Angela? Hey, Bryce, I'm not on the show anymore because, you know, Tony went back to jail. Angela, I know I told him last week. Yeah, I got him a cell phone and I looked through the number and he tried to be slick and talking to this little hoochie named Michelle. But yes, we know, but he saved the number as Michael. How did you know? You on the show, Angela? Oh, you're right. Okay, I'm going to go. What is going on here? We got the love after lockup people just popping up. I don't even know where I was at because Angela just scared me.
Huh? Did you call?
Angela! Go to writerprisoner.com and go find a new Tony. Because, listen, you can't be here on the Purple Pants podcast. Whew, what's going on? Let me wet the whistle. They just jumping out the woodwork. So basically, hold on. That's Amber. And Vince, she don't want him. She's not attracted to him. She just tried to scam him. And now it's just like you on a TV show and now you just look stupid. But Vince is dumb because he's just like, I just wanted to make it work. Like, so that's the one part that I do feel like is, are you just this weird and awkward, Vince? Or because you look all right. Why you can't find a regular old girl? So there is something to Vince. But from everything that we know, he seems legit. The shady one is Amber, but she flipping it on him. So we're going to move right along. Cheryl and Josh. So, you know, Cheryl, her crazy behind, Josh, the bank robber. They was at a family picnic function. And, you know, Cheryl didn't feel comfortable. Tina, Josh's mom, her husband, Kenny. Tina accused Cheryl of wanting to jump the bones with Kenny. So Cheryl tried to stay as far away from him as possible, but his mom, Tina, still talking trash. So, you know, they had this dramatic exit that they leave the barbecue. And basically, they're just driving off. And, you know, Cheryl's having a meltdown like, if you don't want to be with me, you know, I didn't have to waste my time coming down here to Colorado, spending money to see you. And if you don't want, well, girl, first of all, you should have put that money in your kids, okay, that you haven't talked about since the first episode. But anyway, we leave that episode off with Josh basically like, Cheryl kind of drives me crazy. I want to break up with her, but I feel as though I owe it to her since she stuck it out with me in jail. So that's how the episode ends. This episode, they on a date. It's date night. So Josh take her somewhere. I don't know. It look all right. You know, maybe like Applebee's or something. And so basically, they're on a date. Josh is like, you know, I know Cheryl likes to be romantic. You know, my type of romantic is just, you know, having sex and, you know, fooling around. But, you know, she likes to go on dates. So I'm trying to step up my romantic side. Bitch, what the hell? I mean, I likes to, you know what? We ain't even going to do that on this podcast. But, you know, I enjoy some of the hobbies that Josh likes, too. So they're on this date. So far, so good, you know. But I'm like, Cheryl's a ticking time bomb. Let's wait until Cheryl goes off. So Cheryl in her confessional was like, I mean, we're on our date. It's exciting, but it kind of sucks because it's during the day because he's got to be in at 8 and he stays with his mom. Now, every time Cheryl drops us those facts that he stays with his mom and he has to be in at 8 p.m., it's like, did you not know that you were riding a prisoner? Did you not know that he was a bank robber? Did you not know that when he got released, there would be some... I don't even know, but there would be some contingencies to him getting out. Like, this is what I don't understand about these people. So if this the man that you love, then this is what you have to put up with, Cheryl. So here you have Josh being nice. And basically Cheryl's like, well, since I had to buy my own engagement ring when you were in jail, I'd like a proper proposal. And Josh is like, oh, yeah, proper proposals do. Like, he didn't even know what the hell is she talking about. And so now, all of a sudden, now Cheryl, not only the fact that she mad that he has to stay with his mom, you know, court ordered to stay with his mom, that he has to be in at 8. Now she mad that she bought her own engagement ring. Like, somebody put a gun to her head and said, girl, you got to get this engagement ring for you and Josh. Like, girl, this is what you wanted to do. You just looking crazy now. So now she has an attitude because she agreed to buy a ring for herself for a man that she never met or only met in jail. And now she mad at that fact. So Josh agrees that he wants to propose, but he's like, I'm not going to tell you. It's going to be a surprise. Okay. So the next scene we see them, they are driving. And Cheryl's like, where are we going? Now, mind you, Cheryl's driving because Josh doesn't drive. But Cheryl's driving, asking Josh, where are we going? So let that sink in for a second, y'all. Okay, so maybe that can let you know, like, the type of level that Cheryl is on. Okay, she asking him, where are we going? But driving the car. Baby. You can't make this stuff up. So Josh is like, I want to go pick out a ring. And Cheryl's like, oh, okay. Now, ooh, let me wet my whistle for this. So they go ring shopping. Okay, guess where, y'all? They go ring shopping at the local pawn shop. You walk in, you see karaoke machine, you see an old dead fox on the wall, and you see a guy behind the counter that look like his name is Lou. And baby, the first couple of rings that they show look like high school rings. Like, you know them, like if you played on a football team, like that's the type of rings they looking at. Okay. And he's like, yeah, well, what type of ring do you like? And she's like, I like this one. I like that one. I like this one. And I like that one. And so he's like, okay. And so then, like, she puts on one of the rings, and he's like, oh, I like that. She's like, it doesn't fit. Yeah, girl, you're at a pawn shop, okay? And even if a ring doesn't fit, Cheryl, you can get it sized. So basically, they, like, say the amount that they are willing, that Josh is willing to spend, even though he's, at this point, been only out 5 days, but they will go to a pawn shop and buy her a ring. And so his budget is like $400. And so Cheryl's just like, you know, I'm willing to put the wedding off, you know, but I definitely want to be proposed to. So, you know, I like one of these rings. And so Josh has an attention span of somebody that would rob a bank with a wig on and think that he would get away with it. So in that same breath, Josh looks over at like a wireless speaker. And he's like, oh, look at the speaker. Cheryl, can I get a speaker? And Cheryl's just like, and in her confessional, she's just like, this is supposed to be really important. And, you know, we're out here buying a ring and he's thinking about, can he get a speaker? Well, girl, this is the same man that just had you last episode in a marshland looking for $1,000 that he didn't put in no bag, just buried it somewhere and it's now underwater. So what do you expect, Cheryl? Oh, girl, she got on my nerves. But, I mean, I can agree with Cheryl that, like, yeah, like, Josh is immature and, like, he might be 30, but he's functioning like a 14-year-old. And so you can obviously see that Cheryl's just like, you know, she wants a serious relationship. And she's like, yeah, I'm probably the serious relationship that Josh has ever had. Okay, girl, is that a compliment? Is that an accomplishment? Is that a medal that you should get? But you can see the frustration in her. But it's just like, what did you expect, Cheryl? He robbed bank with a wig on, okay? And think that that's like a good costume. Like, maybe you need to reevaluate yourself. So that's where we leave off. Cheryl's upset and mad, but they leave in a pawn shop. So I'm assuming that Josh at some point in time will be proposing to her with a high school reunion ring. Okay. Now, baby, let's get into the meat and potatoes. Listen, okay, we've got Lacey, we got John, we got Shane. So, you know, Lacey is my girl. So, I don't even know, because I got so much tea. So, basically, let me just, before I even get into the tea of the episode. So, basically, Lacey and I are basically like friends now. Okay? Yes. So, one of the purple... Listen. So, this is another church announcement that slipped my mind, because I was so excited to just jump right in with y'all. So, I figure out a name for us. Okay, and this name comes from Jimmy McCormick on Twitter, okay? Randomly at like 3:30 in the morning, he said he's listening to the Purple Pants podcast whenever you listen, boo. And he said, I've got a great idea for the names of you, of us. And basically, so listen, y'all, you ready?
Hey, Bryce, it's Angela, I'm ready.
Angela! Leave me alone! Anyway... Then we listen, we the Purple Pants Posse. Yes, the Purple Pants Posse. So, okay, shout out to Jimmy McCormick on Twitter. Thanks for, I think it's Jimmy E. McCormick on Twitter. But yes, I love it. The Purple Pants Posse. Let me see them hashtags. We the Purple Pants Posse. Okay. So anyway, back to the tea. So one of the Purple Pants Posse's DM'd me and said, FYI, look at this profile. And I'm on Twitter and I'm like, okay, what is it? I see it's like Italian princess. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. What could that be? I click on it. Ciao. And the title says, Lacey from Love After Locker. Ooh, yes. Mind you, she got about 40.5 thousand followers and only following about 400. And guess what? I'm one of them. And so I just tweet. First of all, when you go to Lacey Page, I told you she was a cam girl. Like I said, girl, she up there selling her sex tapes. Okay. Listen, Lacey got her boobies out. Lacey is getting hit from the back. Okay. Listen, I told y'all I'm a psychic. I am a psychic. Listen, you just ain't camming, girl. Okay. You out there getting your back blown out. Okay. Get your coin. But I'm just scrolling. I'm like, oh, look at Lacey. She's a little risque. And she got a new tape out. And I believe literally the title of this. Let me just, I'll have to look it up right now, because I just want to make sure I am direct quoting. Because, like, listen, I don't want y'all to think I'm just out here being nasty. So the direct quote of this, because mind you, she's got a Snapchat, I guess a Snapchat private only page, or I guess that's where you could put up nasty stuff and get paid for it. Listen, maybe I need to make me up a little Snapchat private page. Okay, never mind. So, she got a new video out, and I said, ooh, let me just click on the video. I just want to see what it is. She got it on XXViz, and child, the... Let me click on it. Taking a little second to load. She must got a lot of hits. Okay, so... The title of this video is called Getting Pounded and Filled Up. And I said, oh, yeah, that's a little X-rated. So, but I just started looking at the comments and stuff. And baby, the comments is that it's Shane. Oh, now wait a minute. This thing piqued my interest. Okay, I said, oh, let me listen. I don't listen. She won $22.99 for a minute and 4 seconds. Baby, this ain't no pay week, okay? And listen, if it is a pay week, Lacey girl, I'm gonna have to, you know, give me a box of wine. But I was intrigued for a second, but I ain't doing that. But I was like, ooh, wait a minute. I want to see what Shane look like. Okay, anyway. But yes, so we found Lacey on the Instagram, and she out here selling tapes. And I'm not mad. Get your money, girl. Get them. Listen, they're going like hotcakes. So I just tweeted Lacey and said, hey, boo, I'm one of your biggest fans. You should come on a Purple Pants podcast. And she followed me back. And, you know, she just wrote heart eye, heart eye, heart eye, heart eye. So I didn't slide in the DMs yet. But I would die. Like, literally, I would die. That would be my biggest accomplishment to date, if we could get Lacey from Love After Lockup on the Purple Pants podcast, or at least get her to shout us out or something. So listen, her name on the Twitter is ItalianQueen757. I need y'all. I need the Purple Pants posse to let her know about the Purple Pants podcast and let her know how much I stand for her. Okay? And let her know she need to come with a Purple Pants podcast. But anyway, I said, well, listen, if I'm looking at Lacey, let me see if I can find Shane. And listen, I found Shane on the Twitter too. His name is Shane Whitlow 1. I didn't, like, you know, let him know how much of a fan I am of his, but I think when this podcast comes out, I'ma tweet him. So listen, Purple Pants posse, we need Shane and Lacey. But listen, so it looks like they're still together. Shane got an Instagram too. Shane, same thing. Shane, Love After Lockup. And it looks like him and Lacey are still together. So listen, there is Love After Lockup. I'm happy for him. But listen, let's get into Lacey and Shane. So this week, where do we leave off? It's a whole bunch. Shane came to her house. They had sex. You know, she wants to be with him. She told John in prison that she's been seeing Shane. John called her a B-I-T-C-H, but said he still wanted to make it work. You know, Shane met Lacey dad John and the kids. Lacey dad John told Shane that Lacey cheated on them. And would you want to be with a girl like that? So this week, we got Shane going to a jewelry shop. This must be the thing. Everybody get a ring. Okay? Everybody gets a ring. So Shane goes into a real jewelry store. He don't go into a pawn shop. So listen, that's again why we team Shane over here. So Shane goes to a pawn shop to start looking at rings. And basically, another awkward moment is the guy's like, so what's your budget? And Shane's like, oh, I'm thinking, you know, I just got out, just get on my feet, $500. The jewelry store owner stops and just looks at Shane, and they just stare at each other. And he's like, oh, okay, well, this is what I can show you. And listen, not for nothing, them $500 rings look all right, okay? Everybody get a ring. So I can't get a text back, but everybody can get a $500 ring. So basically, Shane is like, Lacey's the one. I wanna lock it down. I'm locking it down. I want to propose to her. So we already know that Lacey is engaged to John because Lacey dad, John, spilled the tea. So I guess another date. Everybody goes on dates here too. Okay. Waiting to go on a date myself. But anyway, so they're at a diner, but I don't know what type of establishment it is. They got booths, so it looks like a diner, but they serving drinks and stuff, but it's not like, I don't know. So they're sitting down, and Shane's just like, you know, I love you. And he's like, oh, Shane, I love you too. And basically, Shane whips out the ring, and it's just like, you know, I don't care about anything. I just want to be with you. And Lacey's like, oh my God, Shane. And she accepts. So Shane happy. Shane get a confessional outside. Shane like, yes, I'm happy that she's finally my woman. We're not worried about nobody else. Like, you know, she gonna be mine. So Shane is like, well, let's go outside and smoke a cigarette. Because, you know, listen, one thing's for certain, two things for sure. Everybody on this show get a confessional and everybody gets a smoke break, okay? So he's like, you know, what else do you do after you engage to the woman that you love with a $500 ring who's already engaged to somebody else in jail named John, but her dad named John and got three kids. And Marlo might be John's, not her dad, but John, her fiance, might be Marlo's daddy. Yes, what else do you do when you get engaged for the second time? You go out and smoke a cigarette. So Shane is up and at the door, and he's like, come on, Lacey, let's go. And she's like, wait a second. And so Shane goes out because, you know, he just can't wait to smoke that cigarette. And so Lacey calls somebody, one of her girlfriends, and they're like, hello? And Lacey's like, oh my God. And mind you, I'm like, oh, she's so excited. And so the girlfriend's like, what's up? And she like, Shane did ask her to marry her already, but this time she's like, oh no, not Shane, John. Just listen, this the Tito's. So she's like, Shane asked me to marry him.
And I'm thinking about when John asked me to marry him. And John's proposal was so much better.
Wait, huh? Wait, what? Wait, Lacey, what? What?
Yeah, that one had me confused.
Angela!
Yeah, sorry, Bryce. I was watching it, too. That one had me confused, too.
Angela, you can't keep coming on here, okay?
Well, I just wanted to say, I bought my own ring from Tony, too. So, I mean, I know what they filmed.
Well, listen, Lacey didn't buy her ring, okay? Shane bought her ring. Angela, go. So, Lacey is now crying because Shane proposing to her. Now, it starts off that she's mad because Shane proposed to her and John proposed better. Okay. Weird, right? So, then Lacey goes into the bathroom, and then Shane's outside, you know.
Like, what is she doing? I don't understand what's taking so long.
And then so Lacey comes out, and Lacey's got like a little sundress on that barely covers her boobies. But listen, Lacey got a nice little body. I think Lacey's very attractive. So Lacey comes out, and they start smoking a cigarette, and Shane is like,
I'm just so happy you're my woman now, and you know.
And Lacey's like, and then all of a sudden, Lacey's just like, I don't even feel like you tried, okay? No, I'm lying. So he's like, I'm just so happy that, you know, we together and you my woman. And so Lacey is like kind of leaning on him, you know, smoking a cigarette, but make sure none of the ash gets on him. And so she like is smoking a cigarette, no ash getting on him, and she's taking the ring off. Ooh, oh, listen, girl, everybody get a ring. Everybody gets a ring. Why are you taking this ring off? So she's taking the ring off, and she's just like, I can't do it anymore. I can't accept this ring from you because I'm confused. I just don't know what to do. And then Shane is just like, so he instantaneously is like a deer in headlights. He's just like, oh. Now, wait a minute. Now, this is where we start to see, like, you know, the ex-con come out of Shane. And whew, it's kind of sexy. But anyway,
yeah, I think it's sexy.
Angela.
Sorry, I thought, you know, I thought Shane was sexy, too.
Okay, Angela. So, Shane just freezes, and you can tell that he is annoyed. And then, like, I mean, you can just tell, like, he just stops in his track and, like, is annoyed. And then, so, all of a sudden, Lacey goes from being, again, so let's just recap the emotions. She was excited. Then she called somebody and then was mad because John had proposed to her. It reminded her of getting proposed to by John, and she felt like John did it better. Now she's outside smoking a cigarette, okay? We call them Rettas, okay? She outside smoking a Retta, and now she's mad because she doesn't feel like Shane cared about the proposal. She just felt like he did it, okay? So now she flips to, she wants Shane to like, tell me how you feel. And Shane is just stuck. So then, after trying to console Shane, then she just gets up and storms off. It's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm so tired of this. You know, you're really pissing me off. And Shane's just like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So then she goes into the bathroom. And Shane just basically lights another cigarette and kind of walks away. I felt like he handled the situation great. So then Lacey is in the bathroom. And... okay, so I just feel like it's important for us to keep track of these emotions in this, like, five-minute time frame. So, she got proposed to. She was excited. She then got a phone call and then was mad because, again, it reminded her getting proposed to by John, and John did it better. Then she went outside and told Shane that she felt like she couldn't. She was confused. She was conflicted. She couldn't accept the ring because it's not fair. Then she felt like he didn't put any effort into it. Then she was mad because he stopped talking to her. Then she stormed off. Now she in the bathroom. And this leads me to believe that at this diner that maybe we didn't see everything, because she's giving me like how I am drunk. Okay, because her emotions all over the place. Then she storms out of the bathroom and was like, he's pissing me off because he didn't even care about proposing to me. So she just storms out of the bathroom and in the parking lot. And this reminds, you ever see the show Cheaters? When they be running after them with the camera? Yes, this is what this episode is giving me. So they run in with the cameras because now she's running out the bathroom and she's like, you're fucking pissing me off. And Shane's like, what are you talking to me? And so she's like running up and slaps Shane. Clout. And Shane is like, oh,
like, Lacey, don't touch me.
Again, like I said, the inmate started coming out of Shane. So then Lacey is like trying to get in her car. And what I felt was like very compassionate. Shane was like, I don't think you should drive like this. Like, you're upset. I don't think you should drive like this. Now, some random guy is there. I don't know if he's security or a random person in a parking lot. Like, they don't, I'm not really clear about that, but I would hope that this show has security, but I don't think they would need it, but I don't know. But this is random guy kind of sort of standing in between them, but not really stopping Lacey from attacking Shane, but he's just there. And so he's like, don't drive off. Don't drive off. And then so she like gets in the car and then he like goes to the other side of the car, opens the door, and he's like, I don't think she'll go. And then she chucks a cell phone at him. So then he's like, you know, whatever, I'm over it. I'm done with you. So child, since he said that, Lacey get out the car and start running after him. So she run after Shane. Bah, 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 bah. What? And he's like, get away from me. Stop, get off me. And then she get her left hand, wind the left hand up and clonk, smack him in the face. Now this when the inmate came out, Shane was like, hey yo, get me out of here, cause Shane gonna keep hitting me. Whoo. It's getting all hot and bothered. Now he's like telling that to the random guy that's standing there that we don't know who he is. And then like basically he is like, he ain't gonna be keep hitting me in my face. It's getting good. The cameras is like running around. And so like basically like Shane don't have no car, so we don't know how he got there. So basically he just walks to the end of the parking lot, okay, and is standing by your car, and is just smoking a cigarette. And then Lacey's just kind of like by her car, and she's like cussing and mad. So, I mean, I don't know. I would just say, like, that just sounds to be, like, you know, a Friday night with me. So, I would have to say that they were drinking. But listen to this. The previews of the next episode is, and mind you, on this episode when he proposes to her, John is getting out tomorrow. Okay? So, I can see why she probably is conflicted. So, on the next week episode, baby, all they say is that Shane and John meet. Ooh, but they meet like when like the what the previews look like is that like Shane pulls up to when John get out. Ooh. And like there's a preview of like Shane being like, I would knock John out. Ooh. Listen, they still in the show. These is my people. So I keep y'all posted. I keep you posted on my friendship with Lacey. I'm going to hit Shane up, you know, when this episode drops. So I need the Purple Pants posse. When y'all see me tweeting at them, I need y'all, okay? I need my new friends in my life, okay? I need them. It's just so good. I mean, I just couldn't keep up with all of Lacey's emotions. But I mean, listen, if you are seeing two guys, let alone, let's take incarceration out of it, I would imagine seeing two guys is tough. I can only imagine getting engaged to twice, because I guess everybody get a ring. So I don't know what that experience is like, Lacey, but girl, you had to share that with me. But if John is getting out tomorrow, you just kind of like had sex with Shane. I mean, I could see why her emotions would be all over the place, but you know, here at the Purple Pants Podcast, you know, I keep it real, no shade, no tea, Lacey, but it's like you did put yourself in this predicament. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know, but hard to see, hard to tell. Okay, and then last thing on the menu I have is self-care. And I just felt like it was important for me to write. Great segue transition. But listen, you know we messy here. So hold on, let me wet the whistle. So, with the weather changing, summer over, we now in the autumn, fall, winter is getting ready to come. You know that the sun is not going to be out for a lot of the time. It's going to be darker sooner. And there is something called seasonal depression, like AKA sad. And I just wanted to, and I'll be honest, I feel like sometimes I suffer from that because I just get in a funk. Like I don't want to do anything. I spend a lot of the time in my room watching TV. Eating is generally a lot of the time that I gain weight. It's just like, you know, just I just, you know, it comes in waves. And like, you know, but what I think is important is I know this about myself. You know, for the longest time, I didn't know, but I've been more, again, self-assessment and aware. And I just think that it's important. And I don't know if any of you guys kind of go through the ups and downs when the weather changes or just in general. It's just like, you know, first step is acknowledging it. So I absolutely could say, like, you know, sometimes I get depressed. I like, you know, I don't want to do anything. My will, my motivation to want to be upbeat and positive, it just takes so much out of me. And then generally, when the springtime comes, I get more active, I start running again, and then I kind of like, you know, get out of my funk. But this year, I don't want to go into the funk. Like, I don't want to, like, get there. There's nothing in my life that I need to be sad about. Again, after going to South Africa, the Nailady Christian Academy, seeing these children, seeing how they live their life every day and how they get up and walk to school, how they, you know, in these tent territories of houses made out of tin with no running water, that before people will go to work, they'll walk 3 miles to get water from a faucet in the ground and walk back, cook, go, like, you know what I mean? It's just a humbling experience. And so I don't have a reason to be sad. I should be grateful. However, I know that I struggle with this during this time of the year. And so what I've realized, what I need to do is self-care, and which is why I put it on the menu. I think it's important for us in life. You know, we have coping skills. Whenever we go through a traumatic situation, whenever we deal with things, we cope. Sometimes our coping skills are healthy. Sometimes our coping skills are not great. Sometimes we know what they are, but we choose not to use them. Sometimes we turn to negative things for coping skills. But what I say for self-care is that, like, you know, how do you self-soothe yourself? What are things in your life that you get gratification out of? Also, one of my part-time jobs, I work at a psychiatric hospital. I work in the admissions department, and I have the opportunity to work on the national suicide hotline. So throughout my course of the night, the phone might ring and it'll say, like, you know, lifeline call. And so whatever we're doing, we'll have to stop, because sometimes, you know, we're dealing with people that some want to play on the phone, or other times we're dealing with people in crises. You know, there's been some times where I've been on the phone, no lie, and someone said that they've had a gun to their head and that they were in a hotel room and that they just wanted someone to speak to before they decide. And I'm like, oh my God, like, you know. And so at the same time, you have to try to get as much information from them to be able to locate them, because there's no rules or manuals to, like, us on the lifeline. We just get this call and a phone number. So, like, you know, I got to look up the number. I've got to signal to my coworker to see if we can, like, so anyway, in that situation, we actually were able to send police out to track the number, because he said he was in a hotel and the police were able to get there and he actually had a gun in the hotel room. And so what I like about me working the suicide hotline is I'm very unconventional, just like I am on the Purple Pants podcast. I talk to these people how I'm talking to you guys, how I talk to my friends. And sometimes my manager, my supervisor, they'll get mad at me because I'll be on the phone. First of all, they'll come over to me and they'll be like, Bryce, you can't be talking on the line for personal calls. Like, we got to reserve. I'm like, I'm on a lifeline. And they're like, you talking to a lifeline person like that? Yup. Because I'd be like, what's popping? What's going on? And I give it to them real. And what I can say is that I challenge them, the people that I talk to, or I not challenge them, but I'm not, hi, suicide hotline, what's going on? I'm like, what's up? You call me, what's going on? And I kind of like make them, but in a therapeutic way, I am a friend to them that they don't have in that moment to call. And I think that my openness, my vulnerability with them, it really is changing for them. And a lot of times I just ask like 3 questions and they just want to be heard. And so one thing that I always say with them is like, well, what are some of your coping skills? What do you do that, like, you know, if you're not in a crisis, that's fun. And so I feel like that's something to build off. And since I've been doing the suicide hotline for maybe almost 4.5 years now, I've created a list of coping skills, or things that I didn't really realize were coping skills. And one of my coping skills that I talk to you guys about a lot of the times is running. When I run, it's just the only way that I can explain it is, well, number one, I like to run because I drinks and I eat. So I need to make sure I balance it out. But another way, or another how I feel when I run, the only way I can explain it is it's like any stress or anything that's in my mind, I feel like when I'm running, I see them in front of me and I'm able to kind of like work through it all in a weird way. Like, you know, oh, I got to pay these bills this week. Oh, supposed to go on this trip, or oh, you know, and I'm able to, in a safe place, kind of like go through it with myself. And so every time that I'm done running, I always feel a sense of like relief. I always feel like, you know, happy. Another coping skill for me that I just kind of like really discovered this week. I always knew I liked that. I figured I was a Pisces. I'm a water baby. You know, I take baths. I love to take baths. I love to be like submerged in water. Like, you know, a hot tub, a bath, like, you know, in the pool. Like, it's just a very peaceful time for me. And so, you know, this week, like I was saying earlier, Wendell and Beeb was on the road. So, you know, ain't nobody was home and he's got a luxurious bathtub. And I forgot that I had told y'all that, because when I posted a photo of me in a hot little bathtub with a candle and a glass of juice, I kept getting these DMs like, is that Wendell's bathtub? And I'm like, how y'all know? And I was like, oh my God, I keep forgetting. I be telling all of y'all my secrets. I got to stop telling y'all that. But I just, and mind you, I could ask my mom, growing up, I can be in a bathtub for like 3 hours. I drain the water, put some more hot water in there, light some candles, play music. It's just such a relaxing time for me. And what I noticed this week was when I got out of the bathtub, I was like, wow, I feel like when I run, like I feel that sense of like, oh, like stress relief. And so I just say that to say, self-care, guys, let's get ahead of this seasonal depression. If we know we struggle with it, if we know, let's start putting ourselves first. And I'm really saying that to y'all, but I'm really saying that to myself to say, like, let's put ourselves first, Bryce. Let's, you know, do things that we enjoy. Let's surround ourselves with people that are good friends. Let's, you know, set ourselves up so that if in the event that we do go through a sad time, a sad period, we've got things in place that we're already doing to self-soothe us, that are to support ourselves, to love ourselves. Because the more that we love ourselves, the more that we put ourselves first, is the more that we actually win and can shine. So I just know I can start seeing little things that I'm doing that I haven't really been running. You know, I get home from work and I don't want to do anything. And I'm like, you know what? These are like little triggers that generally, like when the seasons change, I kind of go through. So I've really been trying to push myself through that. And, you know, I'm writing myself notes that like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well, Friday, probably not. But Monday and Wednesday, I'm going to go running. And I just want to do more things for me. So again, you got homework, okay? Everybody get a ring. So we got to give ourselves, listen, just like, what's her name? Cheryl or Lock After Love After Lockup. Just like Angela, we have to give ourselves rings. We have to appreciate ourselves. Everybody gets a ring. So start giving yourself rings. You don't have to write a prisoner.com to fall in love to buy yourself a ring. You can love yourself. And the ring that you can put on is going running, taking a bath, hanging out with friends, journaling, you know, watching TV, working out. Like, those are the rings. Everybody gets a ring. Everybody gets a ring. So let's practice to try to give ourselves rings, because it's important. And I, it's something I didn't really like want to talk about, because I'm like, oh my God, does that make me sound so weird? But again, I always get the most feedback and the most responses, or just hearing from you guys, is when I'm being authentic. And I just feel like with this platform that I was blessed with, and I'm blessed to have, you know, the Purple Pants Posse, I want to talk about real things that affect me. And so, like, this is something that I struggle with at times. And just because I have this big, bright personality, like, you know, I can't be like that 100% of the time. Like, I'm not like that, you know, 60% of the time. So, you know, I have my ups and downs. You know, I'm not perfect. So, self-care. Everybody get a ring. I'm giving my ring. I'm giving myself a ring.
Hey, Bryce, you didn't mention me. I gave myself a ring.
Angela, we know.
Oh, sorry. I was dealing with the coping skills, you said.
Okay. All right, Angela. I'll let it slide. Okay, so, girl, go ahead and give yourself a ring. All right, so on to the Purple Pants picks. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Okay, so I got Amanda on Instagram, Amanda_Ami. She writes, long-distance relationships are, long-distance relationships are hard but worth it for the right person. Tips to make it easier. Girl, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, no, in my opinion, I felt like a lot of the times I have had long distance relationships. And I'll say that because growing up, my little love affairs, I always felt like I had to be secret with them. So I felt like they were like long distance relationships. However, I don't feel like long distance relationships are great for everyone. I have a friend who I feel like, and I've been encouraging this friend to work on this friend, gorgeous, beautiful, and, you know, she or he or him or her, I feel like sometimes seeks gratifications from, like, the partner that he or she is with. And, you know, I always encourage this friend to, like, yes, to be with that person, it's great to want to, but I want this friend to, like, get that gratification from yourself. I want you to give yourself a ring. Everybody gets a ring. And I just want my friend to know their worth and that they are amazing. And that, like, you know, sometimes, again, with long-distance relationships, not with long-distance relationships, we put ourselves in these, like, unrealistic timelines that, like, is maybe, like, from what we saw from our parents, from our grandparents. You know, you got to get married at this age. You got to buy a house at this age. And, you know, the generation that we are living in, you know, the millennials, the millennial Gen Xs and them, like, we're not living the same life that those people are. And so I always say, like, forget the timeline that these people or that you feel like you have in your head, because you will follow that timeline and you'll do everything. And then all of a sudden it'll fail and it'll not work out. And you wonder why, because, like, you weren't doing your own thing. And so I feel like with long distance relationships, you have to know yourself. If you are the type of person that likes to be around this person, that likes gratification from being around in this person's presence, like, maybe it's not the relationship for you. In the same token, you guys have to be able to get on the same page. And so one positive thing I feel like you can get out of a long distance relationship is probably really great communication styles. You really kind of get to know a person, because it's like all you have is the time that you're texting, FaceTiming, and calling them with. So I feel like in that aspect, it is great, because sometimes when we have people in our lives that we see all the time, sometimes we take that time for granted, and just being around them is enough for us. But we don't really ask questions. We don't really know what they want. Like, we don't know. And so I feel like that can be a great component of a long distance relationship. I think tips for a long distance relationships are, you got to be honest. You have to be open, willing to want to make it work, and your partner has to be willing to make it work. I also feel like it's important that if it's long distance, you got to make the commitment to set a schedule to see each other, because it's like you boom, 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 boom. You need that contact. You need to want to be in that person's presence. Also, I feel like, and again, I just said the timeline, don't put yourself on a timeline, but I feel like in a long distance relationship, there is a timeline of the sense of, like, okay, well, we can't do this forever. And if you're with somebody that wants to be in a long distance relationship forever, then you probably should get out of it, because it's like, you're not going to get out of it what you need to get out of it. And there has to be some point of, like, are we going to move closer? Are you going to move here? You're going to move there. So you got to be upfront and open with that. Also, I think it is important for you to have a great support system, friends, support, you know, but and stay in contact as much as possible, and natural contact, not like, you know, I call you every day at 8 and like, you know, we just go over the same things, like, you know, sporadic, random, fun little stuff. And, you know, keep it spicy, send a little spicy pic every now and then, like, you know, you just got to be creative with it. So that's what I think, Amanda. Following along the same lines, we got a purple pants pic from the Jimmy G. He puts, how to find friends in your 20s, early 30s that don't have kids and want to hang out. So I did have a follow-up question to this, but I'll answer it myself. I'm assuming when you say friends, Jimmy, you mean like relationship friends, or you mean just like friends that hang out? So two things that I'll say to that. Well, one, if you just want friends to hang out, why do it matter if they got kids? Like, you know, you have to meet friends where they're at. So you might meet one of the best friends of your life and they might have three kids, like Cheryl or Lacey. But if you're saying more in a romantic, then I can understand why you would say that, like, without kids, because you don't want someone that had, like, you know, that's what you're looking for. So in this day and age, I feel like the communication is a lost art form. Like, all we do is text. We on these dating apps. We as in y'all, not me. Cause y'all know I ain't on them. I am on Tinder, but I ain't on none of them other ones. But I feel like there is a loss of conversation. There is a loss of connection. So to meet people, I think is you got to get out. You got to do things in the community. You have to join leagues. One of a friend of the show, Joey Hatch, you know, the lead person in Hatch Fest. What I admire about Joey is every season he is always on a different athletic. Like he's on a flag football team. He's on an indoor football team. He's like on a soccer team. And I'm so jealous because first of all, activity, fun, you know, thinking of giving myself a ring. It is in the lines of like getting out and doing something. But also it's a way to, like, you know, you form relationships and bonds with these people. They become your friends. I can't tell you how many times I went to a game to like watch Joey. And then afterwards they was like, let's go get a beer. And they all just hang out. So getting out, doing things in your community. Also, you have to be willing to be vulnerable and put yourself out there. So you say going out, having a drink at a bar. You had to be, because sometimes I'm like this, I'm guilty of this. I'll text my friends, hey, what you doing? Let's go get something to drink. And if they don't want to go, then I sometimes am guilty of not going. But sometimes you got to be vulnerable enough to say, you know what? I just want to get out Friday night. I had a rough week. Let me just have me a little cocktail with the whistle and go by yourself. And you would be surprised at how you interact with other people and the random type of connections that you can make from just going out by yourself on a limb, being vulnerable and meeting people. So you have to be willing to put yourself out there first, Jimmy. And also, again, back on this self-care, I don't know which type of people that you are wanting to meet, but I'm assuming it's more on a more than friendship relationship. Make sure yourself is right, Jimmy. You got to make sure that you are taking care of yourself, that you appreciate yourself, because you can't meet these new friends that, if you don't appreciate yourself, how they gonna appreciate you? And then people will only do things that you allow them to do. And so you gotta have yourself right, your energy right. So you gotta put yourself out there, be open, join some clubs, join some leagues, you know, go out by yourself, go out with some friends, try something different. You know, if you walk to work or walk to the store, or you drive to the grocery store, how about walking to the grocery store? Like walking through your community. Like, you know, there's so many ways for you to meet interesting and fun people. You just have to be willing and ready to go out and meet people. They might have kids though. I don't know. I can't listen. That's what people do. They make kids. So I don't know where the single people with no kids are at. But it's an adjustment. What else we got on here? Oh, this is funny. So yeah, I know. Wrote the Aussie Survivor Golden Towel Challenge. And then also we had Survivor Henry from Survivor Australia. He wrote, whew, what about those sexy Aussies? Yes. Now, I don't know what the actual Golden Towel Challenge is, but babe, all of the Australian survivors, not all of them, but a select few took to the Instagram and were posting like half naked photos with a towel. I'm here for it. And I believe the person that started it off was, what was his name? I think it was David Gant. And he posted it. And then since then, all of these other Survivor people have been posting it. I don't know what the reason for is. I tried to look it up. I was asking some people. I asked Dylan Conrad from Survivor New Zealand. That's my good sis. They always DM me the juicy stuff. And so I was asking him, I'm like, what's the reason for it? He's like, I don't know. Just enjoy the photos, Bryce. So that's what I'm telling y'all. I don't know, but I seen the photos and I'm here for the photos. And I love the photos. They are great. They are great. Okay. Then I got a last one. Mind you, all the Purple Pants picks this episode being somewhat about relationships and sexy Aussies. So the last one comes from, this was from my Instagram, but this person wanted to remain anonymous. They said, when you're into someone, but you have no clue if they're gay. Ooh. So this is interesting. Because my topic on like homosexuality and gay, straight, bi, I feel like, because I feel like I have to preference this answer with an explanation. I am one that more feels that, like, I feel like in this society that we live in, they define sexuality black or white. Like, you know, it's either yes or no. And I feel like that's a problem. I feel like sexuality is a spectrum. Like, and it's fluid, it's tangible, it's, you know, it's not yes, no, it's, you know, there's levels to it. And I feel like on some level, like, you know, you got the super straight, and then you got like gay. And I feel like, but no one, I mean, but yes, yes, because I would fall under the gay. But sometimes there's in between. And I feel like this society makes such a big deal about like, oh my God, like, and it causes people to do things that, or causes people to be things and people that they're not. And I just feel like, first of all, homosexuality was around in the Greek times, okay? You know, in the Viking times. And, you know, I feel like our society in America, we just have such a harsh look on it. But I just feel like everyone's different and everyone has different levels. And it's okay. Like, and stop trying to, again, like I said, with timelines, stop trying to like fit yourself into a mold. Like, you know, if you like what you like it. You know, you can like more than one thing. You can like vanilla ice cream and you can like strawberry. You can like sprinkles and you can like, you know, banana sundaes. Okay. You can like chocolate ice cream. You can like gluten free ice cream. You can like sherbet. Okay. You could be lactose intolerant and still want some ice cream. But you know, stop being like, oh my God, you eat vanilla. Like, no, listen, baby, life is an ice cream store. Life is an ice cream store. Go in and get you a scoop. And sometimes, have you ever been to an ice cream store and you're like, oh, I know I like ice cream, but I just don't know what flavor. And so you have to test some things out. And I feel like in life, it's okay to experiment. It's okay to try these things and not worrying about what the next person has to say. And like, you know, and that's just like my explanation on sexuality. And so I just hate when people try to box people in to something and like, you know, and so it causes people to pretend and do things that they don't want to do. It causes people to go on timelines that they don't want to go on timelines. Like, oh, I just graduated college, so now I need a girlfriend. And now they could be talking to you, this person, and you might be like, is this person gay? And this person, for all intents and purposes, probably has only ever been with like females, but is curious. Like, you know, he in the ice cream store, he don't know if he like butter pecan or if he like pistachio. And so I think that if you don't know, in a respectful, open, honest way, have the conversation with them or her or he or it or them, whatever pronoun they choose and want to be called. Have that conversation with them. But don't just, you know, bust out on a text and don't like, you know, you have to like ease into the conversation, but have the conversation with them. And, you know, also be ready for, say, what if this person said like, hey, well, I have had experience with guys, but I like girls too. And if I'm in a relationship with someone, I am completely monogamous. Like, you got to check yourself, because if you're not okay with somebody answering like that, then maybe you shouldn't even be bringing it up. But obviously, if you like this person enough and you might be thinking something of them, then ask them. And I always feel like a lot of the times in relationships and when you're talking to people, that people lie or they tell you what they think you want to hear. And nothing pisses me off more than like when I know somebody is lying, but they just tell me what I want to hear. I would much rather deal with and take bad or something that I did not agree with if you were honest with me and told me. I am more open and receptive and willing to understand if you're honest. But if I know you lying and you lie, like, you know what I mean? So, but you, anonymous, have to be open and honest and willing with yourself. And like, you know, if you don't get the answer that you like, then, you know, is this something that you should even continue to? But have the conversation in a respectful way and don't be judgmental and preface the conversation by like, hey, this, can we have a safe space talk? Like, you know, and I feel like the best way to elicit a real answer from someone is to elicit something or tell them something personal and uncomfortable about you. Because obviously I can guarantee you this topic will be uncomfortable for them, or maybe not. Maybe they might surprise you, but reveal something about you. And then, you know, have that conversation and that could help. And, you know, whatever you get, I mean, listen, I don't know. Well, you know, I hope y'all walk out, you know, the ice cream store with your ice cream happy, you know, so, but just have the conversation. So, yes, with that, oh, that was a good one. Okay. All right. Let me wet the whistle a little bit. Hold on. Now, advice with Bryce. I got a good advice with Bryce to the purple pants email. And you guys, if you have any advices with Bryce, you know that you can DM me, but the preferred way is to email me at thepurplepantspodcast@gmail.com. Now, this one came from Jessica Fry. It's a dating advice. All of these things, is listen, everybody gets a ring. Come on. But I ain't buying mine. I'ma just, you know, take a bath and give me my ring that way. Hi, Bryce. I just started, somebody keep calling me. Hi, Bryce. I just started getting back into dating, and I planned a second date with this guy. Things are going okay. I'm kind of the person who likes to take things slow, especially with people I just met on dating apps. I met on dating apps and not friends with yet. If things move forward with this guy, how can I keep him interested but not move too fast and at a speed I'm comfortable with? Also, on a light note, how soon do I bring up my survivor and related podcast obsessions without seeming mean? Thanks, Jess. Hey, Jess. So, it's a lot of things to touch on in this. First of all, when you are on dating apps and you are meeting people, I always say that it is important to be safe. Safety is first. You know, we live in a crazy, crazy world. And if y'all starting to watch Chronicle Sun and Mindhunters, like I've been telling y'all, y'all probably don't even want to get on dating sites. But if you are risque, not risque, but if you are daring and bold enough to be uncomfortable and, you know, want to meet someone new, it's great. And I think that, you know, dating apps in this, although I think it is a drawback because, like I said before, it's the lost art of communication. However, it opens us up to so many more people that we would have never had the opportunity to meet before. So safety is key and first. Some rules that I've kind of always sort of created. You meet somebody and, you know, been talking to them for a while, I always say, listen, screenshot that profile photo. Okay. You know, screenshot their number and send it to your best friend. Send it to your best friend. And, you know, I also, you might think this is crazy, but, you know, create a cold name or a cold word for like one of your friends and just say like, you know, hey, if I ever text you Apple, please call and get my whereabouts, or please just ensure that I'm safe or something like that. And so I think that those are just some ground rules that you should be utilizing, because you just can never be too safe. This world is crazy. Also, I would never suggest you guys meeting anybody without FaceTiming them, okay? Just so that you can confirm that the person that you talk to, because there's a lot of catfishes out here, okay? And you want to protect who you are and your safety. So I always suggest FaceTiming someone before you meet them to know that they real. If they say, oh, I don't got FaceTime. Okay, WhatsApp? You don't got WhatsApp? Okay, you can download WhatsApp. Oh, you don't got WhatsApp? You don't got Facebook Messenger? Oh, you don't got Facebook Messenger? Oh, you don't have Instagram? Oh, okay, yeah. Because you can video chat on all. You don't got Skype? Okay, all of those things you can utilize to video conference someone. And mind you, you don't have to make it like, you don't have to be like, I just need to video chat you, because like, don't make it like that. But obviously make it a natural progression that you want to like video time with them. Wait for you to get closer, but also wait for your safety. And so let's just start that off by that, because I just think it's important to say that, because it's a lot of crazy things happening out there. And I care about my Purple Pants posses, and we got to be smart in this new digital age. Now, you're interested, you guys are fun, having fun, and, you know, a lot of the times these people on these dating apps, from what I hear, they're hookup places. However, you can meet these great people. And so, again, Jess, I think that it's important for you guys to communicate and let people know your expectations up front so that they can't be like, oh, I didn't know, like, you know. First of all, but this got to start before you even start dating Jessica or just anybody, is that know what you are looking for. And I think that that's important, because sometimes y'all, we, and what I mean by we, I mean y'all, I guess me too. You got to know what you on this app for. Are you on this app to hook up? Are you on this app to just want to text somebody? Are you on this app to meet the love of your life? I think that you got to narrow that down first. Okay, so then once you narrow that down, you got to figure out, okay, if I'm just on here to hook up, then hook up. Be safe. Okay, wrap it up. You know, then that's fine. Am I on this you know, app to just text? Ooh, excuse me, a little burp. Wetting the whistle too much. Are you on this app to just text, or are you on this app to meet and be in a serious relationship? And so I think that once you swiped left, right, up, down, jump up and down, you know, going to the ice cream shop, seeing what you like. And once you, like, you know, are talking to somebody, I think that it's very important early on to establish, now, not the first time you're texting, but very early on, expectations. Because when I was on my friend Franny's podcast, she had said something that was important. It's like dating with a purpose. And so if your purpose is to, you know, get married and have kids, now you don't need to jump and say that, because, you know, Jimmy G ain't looking for nobody with kids. So, but it's just important to be upfront and just like, you know, hey, I would, you know, put out there what you're looking for. And ultimately, if the person ghosts you or don't text back, then listen, they just saved you time, effort, and energy. You have to put out there what you want. And so I think that it's important for you, Jessica, to establish these boundaries. Like, you know, you've been on a couple of dates with him. Great. Maybe at the next date, you go out and say, like, hey, I really like you. I would really like to continue to get to know you, but I'm not trying to do anything too fast, too soon. Not saying I'm Virgin Mary, but I want to get to know you. And I think that there is nothing wrong with that. And I think, Jessica, what will determine how long or how... not how long. Whew. I was just thinking about the hot towel challenge. I mean, not the hot... Ooh, the golden towel challenge. No. Sorry. Get my mind off the gutter.
Come on, Bryce. I'm listening to this. This is Angela. I'm trying to figure out how to meet a man.
Angela! I'm talking to Jessica. It will determine, Jess, how serious to start taking him. If he seems annoyed and blown off and kind of like mad that you made him wait this long, then girl, you know he not the one for you. Bye. See you later. However, if he's a gentleman and, you know, is respectful of you at that time and then ghosts you, then again, you know, you saved you some time. However, he could be like, hey, I'm on the same page as you. And like, you know, and that can start to form a whole nother conversation. And that's kind of like when you can really start to talk about, you know, what you're looking for. What do you expect to get out of this? Like, you know, and here's another thing, Jess, that I do when I talk to people. I think this might be the social worker in me. I likes to ask questions. And I will always, again, tell the people, like, listen, I might ask a lot of questions. If I'm asking too many questions, just tell me, Bryce, shut up. But I likes to know history. I likes to get to know a person. So I likes to know, like, what do you like to do? What was your past relationship like? You know, when's the last time you had sex? Like, you know, and again, not that it will care, like I care about any of the answers, but I just like to get a feel for like what you feel comfortable talking about, what you can be honest with, and like, you know, establishing those relationships and ground rules. I also think that it's important, Jess, to, girl, listen, tell them what you like, because that, like, you know, you, what the podcast, the TV shows that you like, that's a part of you. That's your coping skills. That's the rings that you give yourself. That's what you like. And obviously, ultimately, you want to be dating to share your world with somebody. So let them know. Bring them up. He could be like, what? It's Survivor. But listen, Survivor is a great show. So there could be something that you guys watch together that could bond him in, that could, you know, listen to him, bring him to the Purple Pants podcast. You know, I could give him some advice, but those are things that you want to be open and vulnerable about yourself. And I feel like, you know, I can tell that you're still guarded. And I feel like sometimes when we date people, we don't show up as us because we scared of our own selves and we scared that somebody, like, you know, I don't even really like myself that much. So why would I show up and be myself to somebody? And so we got to tear those barriers down. And again, knowing why you on a dating app, are you on a dating app to meet somebody? Then you have to break that barrier. You have to look at that barrier yourself and be okay with it. And then once you are okay with it, you can broadcast that to the world and they will love it. So bring that up, you know, just tell them, you know, I suggest in person, but I definitely would at your second date or soon sometime FaceTiming when you on the phone, not via text. And that's another thing. People don't be liking they just like the text. I need for you to call me. I likes to talk on the phone, but you know, bring that up and put your expectations out there of what you are not willing to accept, but what you're looking for right now. Like, you know, this is how I would like for things to go. Let me know if we're on the same page. If not, like, I completely understand. Also, hear him out, because again, building this relationship, building this whatever, you got to meet somewhere half in the middle. And I just feel like being open, honest, and true to yourself. So, yes, good luck. Email me back, girl. Let me know how those things go, because I wants to know. The Purple Posse wants to know. Now, last, before we get up on out of here, Freak of the Week, baby, Freak of the Week. Now, at first, when I started this episode, I was going to do the Freak of the Week was going to be all of the Aussies doing the Golden Towel Challenge. But I said, oh, okay, like, that was going to be the Freak of the Week. But then I had got my Purple Pants Posse, Mr. Thomas, sent me a tweet and said, Bryce, normally I mind my business, but I listen to the Purple Pants podcast. So thusly, I had to let you know you might be interested in the last 10 to 15 minutes, Mr. Rob Sesterino interviewing coach. He gave you some homework. Now, baby, I said I dropped everything I was doing because literally I just got home from Atlanta. And when I get home, I like to unpack everything. And I'm one of those type of people. I can't like do anything until I unpack. But I stopped everything I do and I pulled up the RHAP podcast and I started listening to Mr. Coach. And I'm like, what are you about to say? And they were just talking about, you know, playing again and, you know, the Dragon Slayer. And whew, Coach revealed, they asked Coach, because I believe this season on Idol's Island, you know, Sandra Robb season, that one of the girls, Kelly Kim, she had gotten an idol and she hid it in her hair. And Rob said, hey, Coach, you think, could you hide an idol in your hair? And Coach said, well, I'm going bald a little bit, but so I couldn't hide it there. But you know where else somewhere I could hide it? I could hide it in my crotch, because I am well endowed down there. Woo, wait a minute. And then Coach said, do some homework. Go back and look at them scenes when I was talking to some people. He said, CBS had to blurry me out. So, oh, well, wait a minute, Coach. Okay. Now, wait a minute. I always knew you was the Dragon Slayer, but I thought it meant something else. I didn't know, baby boy. Okay. Okay. Listen, Purple Pants Posse, you got some homework. Pull up them footage at me at Twitter. Let me see what the coach is working with. A mess. Chile, can't make this stuff up, because I have the best Purple Pants Posse out there. Okay. Listen, that's this week's episode, baby. Make sure you guys follow the Purple Pants Podcast on Instagram. And please make sure, if you are listening to this episode, I need you to subscribe. I need you to rate, write me a review, and show your baby boy some love. It's Bryce Isaiah, and
it's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.